This is Tessa from Brave Radar, and you're listening to Dunkin' Donuts on CITR.
All right, so that was Oakland's The World with their song Managerial Material. And I played that in part because it's a great song, new release, and also because we're still looking for a new station manager, new programming manager here at CITR. So are you managerial material? Why is that so hard to say? Anyways, applications are going to be accepted until this Sunday, I believe. And so please submit your application if you are interested. Details at citr.ca. Yes, we would. It's a fun place to be. I love it here, and hopefully it'd be good for you too. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you from traditional unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia. This is the Dunkin' Donuts show. It's been, it was a weird June. I think I only had one show, maybe two, but I missed a bunch of episodes and played some oldies. I know that we played that Conan Moccasin interview I did a while back last week, Confused Chris-erific. But yeah, I'm here for all of July, so I'm very excited about that. And today I've got a doozy, a bunch of new premieres. So one of them before my good friend Chris at Parts Unknown got to it. Very exciting. But the big thing today is that I did a phone interview a couple weeks back with Tessa from the band Brave Radar, who have an amazing new record out called Lionhead. It's fantastic. And also co-founder of one of my favorite labels, Fixture Records, documenting Montreal and around a lot of good, soft, weird rock, some of my favorite releases the last couple of years. So it was really cool to talk to her. So we're going to listen to a few songs, then we'll listen to that. It's about a half hour, including a bunch of new songs from the Brave Radar record. And yeah, should be a good show for you. Welcome. I'm happy to be back on the air. Thanks for welcoming me back into your ears. So we're going to start off with a brand new, released late last night, single by Adrian Teacher and the Subs. They're about to go out on tour. They're going to make it all the way to the Maritimes and back. So good for them. They're touring with Weird Lines, which is the new band featuring C.L. McLaughlin and Julie Dwaran. So it's going to be real fun. And so let's start off with this Adrian Teacher song. This is Flower in My Eyes by Adrian Teacher and the Subs Here we go.
Phone you later, I won't know. Attention, there will be a cake fight at the Woods Studio, 7 West 2nd Avenue, Friday, July 8th. There will be a cake fight at the Woods Studio, Friday, July 8th. Bands will play Phone a Penny, The Rush for Life, Wish Kicker, and Pink Licorice.
Catalano Street Party, Vancouver's biggest music and arts festival, is back July 9th from 11 a.m. through 9 p.m. Come on down to West 4th for over 50 great bands, including Hannah Georges, White Poppy, Hot Panda, Moo, Woolworm, Mesa Luna, and many more. I can't play this game. The best of Vancouver's food carts and vendors, activities for kids, beer gardens, all this and more will highlight your day. This Saturday, July 9th, brought to you with love from the merchants of West 4th Avenue.
All right, that was Tommy Tone from the brand new record, Bad to the Tone. Oh, yeah. Computer is Better. That was the song. Tommy Tone is a project of Tom Whalen's, formerly, well, he used to live here. I think he's probably coming back in a little while, but he's in Japan right now. And this is his second record as Tommy Tone. So good. Great job, my son, Tommy. Before that, we heard the band Heaven for Real of Halifax and Toronto. That is from their record Kill Your Memory, and that was the title track. They are on tour right now. They're on the West Coast, and they're going to be making their way up to Vancouver July 16th for a great show with Slam Dunk. And who else is on that bill? Slam Dunk, Whitney Kay, and Other Jesus. That's at the Astoria on July 16th. And just down the road at Redgate that night is Milk and Gal Grayson with Aaron Reed. It's going to be a wild night, July 16th. And at the top there, we heard Adrian Teacher and the Subs. That was the song Flower in My Eyes from the Nuka single. Just before we get into the interview, there are so many great shows happening in the next week. I just want to run through some of them for you. Some things to look out for. Tonight at Redgate, Vats are playing with Weed. Weed's last show in town for quite a while, along with Tough Customer. Friday night, Deerhoof is at Fortune, and that same night is a thing called Birthday Cake Fight, which you heard a promo for. It's at the Woods, and it features Wish Kicker. And who else? Pink Licorice, The Rash for Life, and Phono Pony. The next day is the Catalano Festival, so taking over 4th Avenue and Kits, and lots of great local bands playing there. It's free. That night, Sean Mrazek Lives is back at it, They're playing at Red Gate with Love Cuts and Chris Riffick, whom I saw last night at Spartacus Books, who was wonderful and enchanting as always. And also Saturday night, Needles Pins plays with Wish Kicker at Antisocial. And then Monday night, Supermoon and Jay Arner are doing their tour kickoff at the Lido. They're going to be touring the country and meeting up with Adrian Teacher in the Maritimes. So look out for that. And then Tuesday night, the Courtneys are playing their first show here for quite a while. With Winona Forever and Kim Gray at the Astoria. So lots of shows to go see. Rest up and make sure that you catch some live music coming up. All right, now we're going to listen to my interview with Tessa at Brave Radar. It's about half an hour, including a bunch of songs from their fantastic new album, Lionhead. So here we go. Here is Tessa.
Duncan?
Yeah, hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks for a million trials.
That's okay, thanks.
It was hilarious. It was like, Connor never calls me on the phone, but that was like the one moment he chose to call. He's like, I'm at the Metro. I'm like, that's great, I'm expecting another call. Anyways.
Yeah, no worries. So, yeah, welcome to the show. Can you tell me a bit about Brave Radar? What is Brave Radar?
Well, Brave Radar has been a thing for, I would say, like, maybe close to 8 or 9, maybe even more than that, years. It started originally as a recording project that Connor was doing in Australia before he moved to Canada. And then we met in Montreal once he moved here and started playing music together and with, like, a few other members at the time. And it's kind of evolved since then, with the two of us as like the songwriting kind of core of the group, with two guys. Now it's sort of like two guys, Gabe and Andy, who play in our live band, and Connor and I that record on our albums. And then with this most recent record, Brave Radar was also the live sort of version of the band on the record for the first time, which is cool. Although now both of them have moved away from Montreal just in the last like couple of weeks. So we're back to just the two of us. But yeah, it's been a project that Connor and I have been doing for like what feels like quite a while now.
Mm-hmm. And this month you've released your first proper LP, I guess, or first album, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a full length, like as a CDR, really like in 2009, I think it was, called The Building. But this is our first like real album and our first vinyl.
And so can you tell me a bit about what made this different for you? I mean, you run, we'll talk about Fixture a bit later on, but you run a, mostly a cassette label. What did it mean for you to put this onto to record?
Well, for us, I think, like, as soon as we started recording this new stuff, we kind of had the idea of doing a quote-unquote proper record. You know, we'd done a couple of EPs and released, you know, cassette in different formats, CD and stuff like that. And we wanted to do a proper record. So, yeah, we went into it with that in mind, and we decided for this one also, like most of our previous stuff, we'd recorded in different, you know, apartments, kind of at home, doing like a pretty simple computer recording multi-track setup. And for this record, we decided to go in and record with a friend of ours, Peter Woodford, who runs this really great studio in Montreal called The Bottle Garden, that like a lot of our other friends have recorded great stuff at. And they, Peter also records his own band, Free Love Fenner, there. And so it's a studio that we have a lot of love for, and we really like kind of the approach and, you know, the tools that they have. And so, yeah, we decided to do our first real record there, and then also to kind of, yeah, to bring Andy and Gabe in on these recordings and record a lot of the stuff together as a band, some of it live, some of it multi-tracked, but all of it to analog tape at the Bottle Garden. So, yeah, it's like a very different record for us, and we wrote the songs differently, I think, because of that a little bit. So, yeah.
From afar, I live in Vancouver, and the Montreal scene seems very, very prolific right now. And especially the scene around the Bottle Garden seems almost like mystical. Like there's all this amazing soft rock that's being created at the Bottle Garden on analog tape. What's the Bottle Garden like to record at?
Well, it's really like a cool space to be in. You know, it's in the basement of Peter and Caitlin from Free Love Center. It's in their apartment in the basement. So it has like a kind of very insular kind of, you know, cozy vibe to it. And then it's kind of, yeah, walking down the stairs into their basement is definitely like walking into like a different world from like what appears to be a very normal Montreal apartment, ground floor apartment. Then you walk down these stairs and it's just like this oasis of analog equipment that they've kind of collected over many, many years. And a lot of it they've reworked and rebuilt and built themselves, that kind of thing. So it's just like a really cool kind of cavern of neat equipment. And as someone who's not particularly like techie or, you know, that into the kind of music production side of things, Peter and Caitlin are really, really awesome resources for that. And, you know, like I said, they've built or like they've rebuilt a lot of the stuff that's there. So they really have a deep knowledge and curiosity about recording and all these different kind of analog techniques, both old and new. And so, yeah, it's pretty special, I would say, kind of just being in that space and working with those people. It definitely has a specific, it kind of demands a specific approach, you know. So for us, we really chose that we wanted to take that particular approach where things have to be slightly more considered, you know. It's more difficult to do tons and tons of takes and, you know, to cut things up in post, so to speak. That kind of thing is, like, definitely doable, but it's not the most, it's not making the best use of that medium. So, yeah, the space itself kind of, and I think that that's a lot of what they're sort of trying to do with that studio is, like, the sort of older model of a space really kind of having its own sound and having its own kind of like flavor that it brings to different people's music, whatever the kind of genre or, you know, instruments or whatever.
Yeah, your previous recordings have, I mean, it's a very lovable, loose feeling. So I guess it was kind of like you had to really plan out ahead of time to make sure you were, like, when that tape is rolling, you want to make sure you brought your A game.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times we didn't, like, you know, it's like 11 in the morning and on like a Tuesday or whatever. But yeah, I mean, yeah, doing it that way meant practicing the songs and also just like, I don't know, sort of the old way that we used to record and probably will record again in the future in digital, you know, in digital kind of interfaces is you kind of can write the song as you're recording it. You know, you mm-hmm. put down a demo, you go back and listen to parts of it. You can kind of record other things. So, you know, like there's more of a kind of interactive writing process in the recording. Whereas, yeah, for this new record, we worked out, you know, had to work out a lot of that stuff before we even got into the room. And, you know, we definitely, it also gave us the ability to kind of experiment with different, you know, they have like all kinds of cool pianette and or you know, all these weird organs and keyboards and synths and stuff like that mm-hmm. that we wouldn't normally be able to play with. So, yeah, we did some, you know, like weird percussion stuff sometimes, just using stuff that we don't have at home. So, I mean, there's definitely, it's just, yeah, I feel like it's kind of just a different type of play at work, you know, recording that way versus yeah. kind of the play with a digital computer setup at home. Mm-hmm. The play sort of happens at a different place in the process or something like that.
Yeah. And so just going back to the record a bit, you called this mm-hmm. Lionhead. What was the inspiration behind calling it Lionhead?
For us, I think Lionhead, I mean, we were sort of, while we were writing some of these songs and coming up with kind of the lyrics for a lot of them, we were going through a lot of books that we have, like, a lot of books at home that are like medieval pageantry, and like I'm like looking at our bookshelf right now, just like we're kind of, yeah, we were just really interested in different types of sort of symbolism and like that sort of repetition of different visual kind of I guess visual ritual or something like that. And so, you know, we were looking at, in a lot of medieval stuff, there's obviously a lot of lions and like dragons and stuff like that, and just kind of the way that different symbols like that have been used over time and are still, you know, used to this day. So mm-hmm. we were just kind of like, I guess, drawing on, excuse me, on that type of visual stuff as kind of a lyrical inspiration, I guess. And then we also sort of just like the idea of a lion head as just kind of a iconic visual. Like, we have this framed picture in our living room of a lion head that's like a black ink on a white background. And I think it's like an ad from the 70s or something like that for like a menswear company. But anyways, just the idea of like a really kind of stark and bold, you know, image of a lion's head mm-hmm. to us was kind of like also just a maybe an inspiration also just in terms of being more decisive with our choices on this recording.
Right.
You know, using that type of analog process where decisions had to be made in the moment. So yeah, a lion head is just kind of like a symbol for us while we were working on the record to be decisive and more bold with our choices, take mm-hmm. more risks.
This is your big statement. This
exactly.
Line. Yeah. So what's the live band like now? I know you've played a couple of shows to release the record, and you had a small tour. So what's the live band going to be now that your rhythm section has left town?
Well, yeah, actually, our original drummer moved away just before the tour. So we had another friend, this guy Christian, who plays in a lot of other bands that we like, Sheer Agony, Lantern, plays in each other. Yeah, yeah. He has like a million different bands, and he also has his own solo project called Couleur de Sang. That's really neat. So he was our drummer on tour and a lot of the recent shows, and I think will continue to be, hopefully, our drummer. And Andrew, who has been our bassist for a long time, was moved away just after the tour. So our live band was the four of us. And yeah, going forward, I guess we're sort of still trying to figure out what we're going to do. Right. So yeah, hopefully Christian will still be involved. And we're definitely, yeah, thinking of new ways to configure the band as we like start to work on new recordings and stuff that maybe is less guitar, bass, drums kind of structured.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to you a bit about your record label, Fixture.
Yeah.
So what's the history of Fixture? Like how long have you been doing Fixture?
About the same amount of time. We started the label in the end of 2007. So yeah, like around the same time or a little bit after, Connor and I started playing music together. And yeah, the label originally, you know, our first release was a Brave Radar album called Distracting Strangers. That was like a very small run of CDRs. And we soon after released another CDR by our friend Alex, who was playing music at the time under the name Dirty Beaches. And we released a cassette by this band Postcards, who are now Chevalier Avant-Garde. So that was kind of like the initial start of the label, was those three releases, and we like did a little Montreal, kept doing it, and introduced vinyl and, 12-inch and 7-inch vinyl. And we don't really do CDR so much anymore, or really at all. So it's mostly cassette, 7-inch, and 12-inch these days. That's the label.
Yeah. So what inspires you to take that? I mean, you started it because you had some friends and you wanted to help. So what keeps you going? What makes you want to have a label?
We definitely come up against, like, why are we doing this a lot of times? But, I mean, ultimately, like, just getting really excited about music that we hear. Right now we're getting ready to release something by this local band, The Submissives, who are super awesome and just like make amazing music. And so just like, you know, kind of stumbling on something like that is just so good. And we really think like deserves to be heard by lots of people. And that really is like sort of the force driving us continuing to do it. And, you know, any of the kind of like gripes of it's always just kind of like reinforced by whatever the next sort of thing that we're really excited about is. So,
Yeah. It feels very rooted in a scene in Vancouver or in Montreal. Like it's a snapshot of what's happening in Montreal right now that, I don't know. I love your releases, and it's
cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's definitely part of what we're trying to do, is kind of like preserve and disseminate these amazing recordings that people around us are making, that, you know, might not get heard by more people if they're not released on some format, or, you know, we're not trying to, like, behind them trying to tell people about it, that kind of thing. We've also released lots of stuff by bands outside of Montreal and in the States and other places. For sure, I mean, people create the label with Montreal, and people create the label with Montreal, and people create the label with Montreal, and people create the label with Montreal. For sure, I mean, people definitely, I mean, people...
That was interesting. So there was a fire drill, or I don't know if it was a drill, there was a fire alarm And I left, and for some reason this interview is skipping. I thought it was taking way longer than it should have to come through, and I guess that's because it was skipping. That's really too bad. I will post a link to that non-skipping interview to the Dunkin' Donuts page. I'm going to clean up the CD, and let's give a listen to The Submissives. That's a band that... that Tessa mentioned. Look at Me. This is a song from the new Submissives record called Betty Told Me. Here we go, The Submissives. All right, that was Christian Michael Jackson from Montreal with their song What Does It Mean from the album J'ai Jamais Voté Pour Ça. Before that, we heard The Submissives from their new album Betty Told Me. That was the song Look At Me. And before all that, we heard a very choppy interview with Tessa of Brave Radar featuring a number of songs from Lionhead, their brand new record. Yeah, sorry about that choppiness. I don't know what was going on, but I will post the the unstuttering interview to the Dunkin' Donuts page, and you can check that out. Coming up, let's give a listen to Ihi, the band from Seattle. They have a new record out. It's called Bubble. Let's give a listen to the song Summer of 2069. Here is Ihi.
Recliner in the back, a sign of the weird times in the summer of 2069. go out and face the time. The video man for the ringing chimes. Gather up your rewards, make it worth your while. The sewer door creaks right around midnight in the summer of 2069. A swish to the past, let the dog survive. We all hold what we've got extra close tonight. Are these vacant dirt lots gonna glow bright
Derby is the epic full-contact sport with 10 women skating at 30 kilometers an hour, and your favorite Terminal City Roller Girls season has started. They've got games on May 7th and 28th, and the semis are on June 18th. It's all wrapping up with the finals on July 9th, so come on out for the hits, the points, and the bruises, and cheer on your team. Check out tcrg.ca for times and locations.
My name's Chris Horrific.
We always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it, Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
That was Fuzzy P from their new record, On a Lawn. That was the song Tomato Guitar. Lovely song. Good job, Fuzzy P. Before that, we heard Montreal's The Dorries from their new record, Outside Observer. That was the song Squinting. I send that song out to my pal Dory, currently on her honeymoon on Vancouver Island. Congrats, Dory. And before that, we heard Ihi from their record, Bubble, coming out very soon. That was the song Summer of 2069. That's going to do it for this odd episode of Dunkin's Donuts. Thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Thanks to Tessa from Fixture Records and Brave Radar for the phone call. And like I said, I'll be posting, I don't know. I thought that screwed up. I was outside because of a fire alarm, so who knows. But anyways, I'll put it up online soon. Hope to see you around this weekend. Lots of cool things going on. Don't let the rain get you down. And I'll be back next week. Last song I'm going to play is by Ellie Greenwich, the song You Don't Know. Lovely song. And this song goes out to my Ellie, my daughter, Eleanor, who is turning 5 today, or has turned 5 today, is now 5. Very exciting. Time flies. And yeah, so I wanted to play this song. That goes to you, Ellie. Happy birthday. I'll see you all next week. Bye.
You don't know what I've been going through since the day I laid eyes on you. And you don't know how hard it is to hide all my love,
baby,
deep inside. And I'll pray that's the way. Been going through, 'cause till I die,
baby,
I'll love you, and I'll try not to cry. Since the day I laid eyes on you,
you don't know what I've been going through.
Don't know what I'm gonna do.
'Cause till I die,
baby,
I'll love you.
This is Sasha Bilott, and you're listening to CRTR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.